The African Union Summit continues this week, with leaders from throughout the continent gathering for a major assembly in Khartoum, Sudan. The summit convenes against a backdrop of ongoing bloodshed in that country's Darfur region. The AU peacekeeping mission has failed to rein in government-allied militias and competing rebel groups in Darfur. So what's next, and what hope is there for ending the conflict? NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt has just returned from Sudan. She spoke with NPR's Farai Chidea at member station WHYY in Philadelphia.
So before we get to the details about the African Union meeting, tell us about your trip to Sudan. What brought you there?
Well, I went with a group of women from Boston, six of them, some of whom had been involved in the slave redemption efforts back in the early 2000. And one of them, Chol Sir Rehan, is now that the Sudanese government has its own, you know, government in the south. She's the first woman commissioner in her county. And she had come up with the idea of having a school for girls because Sudan has the worst male, southern Sudan, the worst male to female student ratio in the world. Only about 12% of the girls are in school. So I went with them to sort of do a recce on whether or not it was feasible to try and build a school in a remote place that war has just taken back to the Stone Age. There's nothing there.
Let's listen to part of your report on the situation, which aired on Morning Edition.
Nanu Deng doesn't use the word, but rather describes a life no different from a slave's, being forced to do double work, wash the clothes, clean the house and the yard, look after the cattle, and pound sorghum by hand for hours on end. Stories like Nanut Deng's are not rare in the province of Bahr el Ghazal, where many Arab raids took place. Under a large tree, more than a dozen of these women gathered to meet Gloria White Hammond, a Boston pediatrician and minister who got involved in the rescue of abductees back in 2001. She's come this time with five other women to try and start a school for girls, but she says her own abuse as a child at the hands of her father draws her like a magnet to these women.
It hit home. I've known what it's like to be violated as a woman. Part of why I particularly felt connected to these women and have wanted to support their overcoming and to demonstrate their capacity to move beyond the abuse.
So Charlene, how did it feel to see African-American women going and trying to intervene on a very personal level in this African crisis?
Well, it was quite moving. And I think that the thing that this tape, this particular segment showed, is that freedom is not enough. I mean, these women were enslaved in the North. They were raped. And yet now that they're free, they've come back to their own homes where there's absolutely nothing. There's no support. Some of them are suffering from the beatings they got in the North. They have no medicine. Their children can't go to school. And Gloria White Hammond, the pediatrician and minister from Boston, who was the leader of the delegation, was so empathetic with the women because she herself had been abused as a young woman. And she didn't make any false promises, but I think the fact that they were just there gave the women in Sudan so much hope. And also, I think it gave the women from Boston more, even more inspiration to come back and try to actually get something done for those women who've suffered so much.
It is really an amazing story. Let's turn back to the political. We have peace in the south right now, but conflict in the Darfur region in the west. And Sudan's army has reportedly committed the first serious violation of a final ceasefire signed a year ago. The UN says that the army sent around 1,200 troops last week into the rebel-controlled eastern area of Hamesh Koreb in violation of the ceasefire. Any indication of how the U.S. and the UN might respond?
Well, you know, I think that they've been trying to let the Africans take care of this situation themselves. Now, I know that Jendai Frazier, the Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, has been there recently and has told them to shape up, I mean, to get this situation sorted out. But it's very difficult to force people to have peace if they aren't committed to peace unless you're willing to intervene in a stiff, hard way. And so far, there hasn't been that kind of intervention. The African Union troops are in there. They're understaffed. They're under-equipped. And so that is just making the situation extremely difficult.
Well, speaking of the African Union, they're holding a summit in Khartoum. Now, given the role that the government is allegedly still playing in Darfur, is this a wise idea? And what kind of responses are different African leaders having to this idea?
Well, there are two different schools of thought. Jan Pronk from the United Nations, who says, of course, Sudan was the first country to gain independence. They're celebrating that. And having the meeting there with these new principles of good governance and respect for human rights might send a strong message. I guess it will all depend on what's said. But at the same time, the Southerners were very unhappy about this meeting, along with human rights activists who believe that this meeting should not have been held in a country where you have the kind of mass violations of human rights that are taking place in Darfur. And so it just, of course, remains to be seen if anything really concrete and positive is going to come out of it in terms of bringing the conflict to some conclusion and also relieving the people in the South of the poverty and misery they're living in.
So at the same time you have this African Union summit, you also have the United Nations under pressure to do more. And so far, the African Union has struggled to keep the peace. There are less than 7,000 troops and observers scattered across Darfur, which is an area about the size of France. So what concrete plan would the UN put into place? Are they offering anything? Are they putting anything on the table?
Well, you know, not at this point, but the point is that the African Union is going to run out of money in March, and the international community so far has not come to the party, and yet the situation is so urgent and everybody is going to have to get more serious. I think the African leaders, it'll be interesting to see what kinds of discussions they have with Omar al-Bashir, the president of Sudan. You know, it's not likely, this is not the way the Africans do business. They're not likely to come out in a press conference and say, look, you got to get this situation resolved in Darfur. But they might have quiet negotiations behind closed doors, and we'll see in the coming weeks if it's made any difference.
Charlene Hunter-Galt reports for NPR from the continent of Africa. She joined me here in Philadelphia at member station WHYY. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Farah. It's nice to be with you in person.
I know. Wish it would happen more often. Back to you, Ed.
All right, Farah. Thanks very much. Again, that was NPR's Farah Chidea.